We go to Florida International University for the professor, infectious disease specialist, Dr. Eileen Marty. Doctor, good morning. Let's talk about the CDC telling us that this kissing bug disease could become endemic in the United States. First, what's the difference between an endemic and pandemic?
Oh, those are very different ideas. Endemic simply means that it happens where you live. Autogenous transmission, in other words. A pandemic has to do with how far something spreads into multiple different continents, and that there's ongoing transmission in multiple places, which can happen only for a time, and therefore, you know, it can contract back to where it originally came from, or it can become endemic. It become ongoing transmission in a particular place. But yeah, let's talk about specifically, this is one of my favorite parasites. It's a single-celled organism that is typically transmitted from one of many different species of kissing bugs, and they're called kissing bugs because they bite you typically in the face, and then after they bite, sometimes they sort of turn around and poop in the wound, and when they do that, or you can smear their poop into your wound, that can also happen. The poop has these trypomastigote stage that then goes through your bloodstream, gets into certain cells like those in your heart, for example, where it replicates and then every so often comes out. So it's asexual replication in the human. There's a sort of sexual replication in the insect. So they're considered the definitive host. There's an exchange of genetic information there. And this is a terrible disease. The incubation, by the way, you can also get it by eating certain, by drinking certain fruit juices that get infected with this, with these bugs, etc., right? You can get it from organ transplants, and it can go mother to child as well. So it'll take about 1 to 2 weeks if you get it from the kissing bug. If it's a transplant, it can take 3 or 4 weeks. If it's congenital, it can be visible at birth. The signs and symptoms can be visible at birth in the child. There's an acute phase. There's an intermittent phase. The intermittent phase, you may have absolutely no symptoms, but we can detect it with antibodies. And then there's the chronic phase. And in that chronic phase, 20 to 30% of people have one of the worst manifestations, which is a dilated heart. We call it dilated cardiomyopathy with arrhythmias. You can get aneurysms, and it can cause sudden death. It's really, really, really bad. It can also affect your intestines, and you can have big swollen mega esophagus or mega colon, and you can have sometimes neurologic symptoms. So this is a really, really bad disease. We only have two drugs right now that are FDA approved. It used to be, I had to ask the CDC for permission to give one of those drugs to patients. But ever since 2018, they've allowed us to just do it through pharmacies, which is great. But there's no vaccine for this thing. And by the way, we already have autogenous or endemic cases in Texas, California, Arizona, Tennessee, Louisiana, Missouri, Mississippi, and Arkansas. And the bugs that transmit it are existing in about 31 or 32 U.S. states right now. So this can become a bigger problem. And it's not just a problem in humans. It's also a problem in animals, especially dogs. Our dogs get really sick from this. And in Texas kennels, some of the dogs can have, 30 or 40% of them can be infected, especially if they're outdoor kennels and they get exposed to raccoons or opossums that can help with the bug going from one animal to the other. And there's an attempt to make a vaccine. We're working, and this is why vaccines are so amazing. It isn't, we think of vaccines as something that prevents severe sickness at all or death, but they're actually also making these vaccines in a way that we use a lot of immune drugs right now to awaken your own immune system. So somebody, a dog or a human, already infected with risk of having these heart problems, using these experimental vaccines, it can wind it back so that they don't get these bad heart problems. And so, there's a connection there.
Yeah, this disease already endemic to 21 countries in the Americas and those states you mentioned. Now that you've scared us and also with your poop mention sickened us, what can we do, if anything, to prevent this in us and dogs, for that matter?
Right. So so obviously, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness, as they say, right? There's mm-hmm. really, it really is important that we, be mindful of what insects, and by the way, remember how we can actually drink fruit juices that have these and get infected, you know, and there have been outbreaks that way, so dogs can have it that way too. So you want to make sure that what you're eating and drinking are safe and properly made, pasteurized when that's the appropriate thing to do, and also, you know, check the body of your dog and your family members, you know, to see if there's anybody mm-hmm. crawling around. Make sure your home is clean of these critters. Mm-hmm. You know, get your house regularly treated for insects. Yeah, and cleaned. Yeah.
I've saved a minute, and hopefully you can just give us a little guidance on what you think the CDC will say. They're meeting in about a week to give formal recommendations for the COVID-19 vaccine, and medical experts are saying that will determine accessibility and also whether insurers will cover it. What do you think we're going to be hearing from them?
Absolutely. So you're talking about the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practice, or the ACIP, which is a particular part of the CDC that traditionally had members that were expert in infectious disease, pediatrics, and vaccinology, that were very evidence-based, and therefore, since they had seen the data, generally very pro-vaccine, with obviously paying a lot of attention to any particular vaccine's idiosyncrasies, and absolutely never recommending anything that could that wouldn't be very beneficial with minimal to no risk. So that's how it was traditionally. Right now, we have three members in that panel that have very much anti views for vaccines, or specifically against mRNA vaccines that are completely off the normal channel of what normal medicine is about. So it's very hard to predict how much influence those three individuals will have among the current members of the ACIP board. Mm-hmm. Having said that, you're absolutely right that if they do a nice broad recommendation, then you'll go back to near universal access, walk-ins, insurance covers everybody. But if they restrict it as the FDA did in their most recent recommendations, then it's going to, in many states, that means you're going to have a prescription, even if you are of the group that that they say it's good for, like if you have an immunocompromised condition for whatever reason, or you're over 65, which is going to increase cost and bother even for people who need the vaccine and should have the vaccine, and they all agree should have the vaccine, because you have to go get that prescription.
Right.
And then, of course, there could be major barriers if there's no recommendations throughout the country.
We'll see what happens a week from today. And again, that disease we were talking about, the kissing bug, do you pronounce it Chagas?
Chagas disease.
Only Dr. Eileen Marty has a favorite parasite. We'll talk again next week. Thank you.